Something that this airplane, you know, there was, this is how easy, I know they're a great airplane. We lost 62% of these airplanes in Vietnam in that seven-year war, whatever we call it, eight-year war. We had 250 Americans that belonged to bird dog units that never returned home because they were killed in action. This thing, we flew 26,000 hours a year in this airplane just in our company. So we were all flying 130 to 140 hours a month. It's not fatiguing. It's a 3.5-hour mission. But when you're getting shot at, which is fine, the getting shot at was not keeping you from doing your mission. And we had 12 officers and backseaters. And Doc will tell you, some of the finest officers I've ever flown with, whether they got decorated or not decorated, they all had courage beyond belief because they knew that the Marines were getting their fannies kicked in Leatherneck Square and then later on the 1st, the 5th. But Doc will tell you that the incoming was so ferocious, we wanted to go kill those guns.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't enjoy going to bed at night with those rounds coming in, I tell you. So it gets your attention. You'd have to go up there and seek them out, really. And a lot of times you'd go up there, you can't find anything, you fly around for long, you're going to be in a battle or something. They're going to be shooting at you.
How many times a day would you fly?
Twice, about three to 3.5-hour missions a day. And then if there was a real big battle going on, we just didn't stop. We came in, refueled, re-rocketed, and went again.
Tell me about, you're in the front seat flying the airplane, but you have a, quote, backseater. Who's that? What is he doing while you're in, and what are you doing in the front seat besides fly the airplane?
Well, go ahead.
All right. Well, basically, I'm going to be talking to the Dong Ha desk right there, support center of the DMZ. I don't know if Tom Jones is out there or not, but he was... He's the one that got us all our attack here. And I'll tell you a little quick little story about him. He flew F-4s, and then he was assigned to Dong Ha up there. So he had never flown a little, like a Piper airplane before or anything. And I told him, I said, I'll take you up there and show you around. He said, okay. So he comes out there to the airplane. He's got knives, guns hanging all over him. I said, this airplane ain't going to get off the ground with all that, Tom. He said, well, in case we go down, you know. That's okay. So he jumps in there, and I have the windows open in the back, and he said, man, I've never flown an airplane with windows open before. You know, this is all strange to him, you know. So anyhow, we take off, and we go up, and he starts recognizing things, and we're flying along. He says, hey, that's Fingers Lake. We're in North Vietnam. I said, yeah. And about that time, and I didn't tell him, I armed all four rockets, and they're right there by his ears. I fired all four, and he back came out of the back seat. But anyhow, I had to show the guys at Dong Ha desk what it looked like up there, and I took all those guys up for rides doing that.
We had two types of back seaters. We had Marines that spent 6 months with us, and a lot of them were on the ground as grunts. So they were very educational for us. Rusitos and all these people kind of knew the area. Then we had artillery observers who were really good. They wanted to go up north and then use their artillery pieces that they were assigned to in South Vietnam to fire, and they would adjust the fire. So many times, Doc would be running an airstrike, and his back seater would be running an artillery mission. And David, this is how when you get thrown into something like this, combat was fun. It was the greatest year I ever had in my life. But nobody tells you, think about this. Here's the North Vietnamese artillery. I'm flying here. And here comes our artillery flying here. And then we have naval gunfire coming here. Will somebody tell me where the hell these things, what's the trajectory? How high do they go up before they land? And one of our real, real good friends that was injured, Bill Hooper, whose brother wrote the book, 100 Feet Over Hell, took an artillery piece and he took some shrapnel in his arm. But that's how, you know, we always talk about the fog of war and everything else. So when we would bring jets in, sometimes you'd have 4 to 5 flights, which is like 10 airplanes sitting up there in a holding pattern. And they would be up there, and we're trying to tell them where everybody was, where all the gun target lines were. And they're we stopped all the fire when the jets came in. The A-4 and F-4 pilots, the Marines and Air Force, could put bombs, put them in that tent every time. They were fabulous. And it didn't matter what they were getting shot at. They just came. And one little quick story about, we put, Doc took a Marine up in his back seat, F-4 pilot. I took a gunfighter, F-4 pilot, in my back seat. And we went up North Vietnam, got shot and everything. Guy said, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
This is it. This is 90 knots.
Yeah.
This is not burner. This is 90 knots. It's how fast. They're crazy.
To give you an idea of when we really got into battles, I'd take off from Dong Ha, and they'd call me and say, the desk would call me, Tom would call me, his people, and say, we got troops in contact. And they would give me a general direction. They didn't want to give the coordinates because the NVA would listen. So I would head to that direction, and they'd start seeing me coming. They say, okay, we're at your 1 o'clock. So I'd turn the airplane to my 1 o'clock. And I'd keep going. They say, now we're at your 11 o'clock. So I'd turn back 11 o'clock. And when you'd hear mark, mark, you look down, and here's a guy lying flat on his back with an orange panel holding it out like that. You could see him. So I'd tell my back seat, I said, okay, lock and load. I had a Mega M16 with 10 clips, all tracers.
You did?
I did.
You're flying the airplane.
I'm flying the airplane. What I would do, I'd push the throttle forward, grab a hold of the stick, take the M16, put it out the left window, make sure I don't shoot the wheels or strut off the airplane. And we go down, and back seat's firing, and we're getting their attention so guys can maneuver around. Tracers going everywhere. And our back seat knows where they are now. He's going to start cranking up the artillery. I'm calling Tom Jones at desk, you know, requesting the F-4s with snake eyes, 250-pound tronco fin bombs. Fins come out like that, slow it down so the jet gets out of the way and makes a burst, and then 500-pound napalms. And he'd bring them up on station. The artillery is cranking, and we're looking to how we can maneuver these guys out of this area. They're usually in a bomb crater, you know, ducking down. And so the fight's on, and we start bringing in the TAC air. You have to tell them which way to come in, what heading, which way to break out due to the least amount of fire. And they set up a racetrack pattern, okay? And once we get that set up, then I'll come in. I said, okay, dash one, let's say I had four F4s in a pattern. I'd say, okay, dash one got me in sight, Raj. I said, okay, I'm going to make my first mark. And I'd go in there and throw a Willie Pete.
What's a Willie Pete?
White phosphorus rocket, excuse me. But anyhow, I'd lay that in there, and I say, okay, let's go 9 o'clock, 50 meters with Delta One, one bomb. You got to understand, people, we ran the battle. I don't care if it's a general on the ground. We ran the battle. We were controlling the air, the artillery, and they were gunned all at the same time. Okay, we had three radios going plus intercom, and
you're flying the airplane.
And you're flying, yeah. And that's just natural.
Buddy. And Doc was smoking a cigarette.
But anyhow, we'd come in there, you know, and you got to imagine now. I would try to get myself right on top of the friendly troops as Dash One's coming down, and I'm looking at him. He's coming down. I see this shiny metal object at 400 knots coming at me. And I make sure his pattern is right where he ain't gonna drop on top of the friendlies. I said, okay, Dash One, you're cleared hot with one Delta One. So he knew he was cleared hot to drop one bomb. He'd go off, and I'd rack the airplane around in a tight circle, get back on top of the friendlies, say, okay, Dash Two from Dash One's hit. Let's go 12 o'clock, 50 meters. And we'd keep this up until they told me they were out of bombs, and then the artillery would be cranking in at that time. And then we would just keep doing this till we blew out an area we could march the guys out of there, and then I'd have a couple of lift ships back here. And so the artillery is already cranked in and registered. And so I'd say, let me have four Willie Pete's of artillery, the white phosphorus. And they'd come in, they'd load the smoke in. I'd tell the choppers to go in, that haul in there and pull the troops out while that smoke screen there was pulled out. Then we'd blow the area away.